Well, we hear John's gospel. He's the gospel writer. He really has a goodly number of chapters in his gospel about the Last Supper. But it's interesting, John, the evangelist, doesn't actually account when Jesus says the words of institution that we hear at Mass. It's Matthew, Mark, and Luke that account the words of institution. John was focused, he had other things he was focused on, it seems, in his gospel. Again, this is the gospel, the Last Supper, happens on the preparation day, basically the preparation day. And it would, remember, how the Jewish system worked is when it got dark, then it was the next day, basically. So it seems like they were started the Last Supper at dusk after the sun was going down. So it was actually the preparation day, and Jesus would be crucified that same day at 3 o'clock the next. How does that work? It's the same day, but it's Friday. So Thursday evening is when it would have started the Jewish day, and that would have went into Friday just before dark. So that was their day. So Jesus starts the Last Supper that day for a Jewish day, and then he goes and is killed just before the day ends. That's why they had to get his body off the cross, because the day of the Passover, the Sabbath, was the next day after that Passover day. The Sabbath would have been, again, as the evening of Friday. That's when the Sabbath would begin for the Jews. So this happens, good Last Supper, on the 14th day of Nisan, in Jerusalem, and about it was would be April 2nd of 33 AD. And so we hear him washing the feet in the gospel, but I want to jump ahead. I want to talk about something that happens certainly after the institution of the Eucharist. So if you read the gospels, you put them together, you have Luke, who actually talks about Jesus drinking in the Jewish Seder meal. There was a number of things that happened. Jesus drinks the third cup. Luke accounts that in his gospel. Then all three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, account that Jesus takes the bread and offers it, just like we do at Mass. Did you ever wonder why the bread is done first and then the cup? Well, you have to read the gospels carefully. So all three gospel writers account Jesus taking the bread and offering it. And then after that, they account him taking what's actually called the fourth cup in the Jewish meal. So he takes the fourth cup. So after that, if you continue to read Luke's gospel, interesting, and I'm going to bring this out, what Luke says right after basically the institution of the Eucharist. He says that one of them will betray him. Now, wait a second here, just a little clarification. You have to, when you're reading scripture, you really have to understand the context. Because what happens is Judas, at this point, in the institution of the Eucharist, Judas has already left. He was already gone. And we heard about that, about Jesus talking about one of you will betray me. So Judas had already left before Jesus institutes the Eucharist. So he was gone. So Jesus is saying to them, after the institution of the Eucharist, one of you will betray me. And then what happens is the apostles, they're kind of like, whoa, who is it? And they start having a discussion amongst themselves, who is the greatest? It's like every time there's a controversy, it seems like they talk about who's the greatest amongst us. It's almost like they're trying to figure out who it is that's going to betray him. And they go into the discussion about who's the greatest. And Jesus speaks up and he says, basically, the greatest among you will be like the youngest. And the leader of you all will be the servant of all. So he's basically saying, and we just heard about that in the washing of the feet. He's having to reiterate that because the washing of the feet happened before the institution of the Eucharist. So he's having to reiterate that mindset, like, if you are to be the greatest, you have to be the servant of all. You have to be like the least of all, in a sense. Look upon yourself as being the servant of all. This gets into humility. This is what Jesus shows us profoundly, him coming to earth. He is God. He took on a human nature. He became man. He humbled himself to share in our humanity. He shows us what we're called to be in humility. And of course, humility is realizing who we really are, and we really need God's help. We need his strength. We need his help. We need him to help us and strengthen us. So Jesus is trying to say to them again, repeating, have humility. Serve one another. That's what Jesus shows them. He showed them, certainly in the washing of the feet, but throughout his entire public ministry, how to serve, how to be the least among them. So then it's interesting what Jesus then says. He says this directly to Simon. Simon, Simon, the devil has come and has demanded to sift you like wheat. Sift all the apostles. And I'm praying for you that your faith may be strengthened. And after you, I'm paraphrasing, after you fall and return, I want you to support your brothers in the faith. So Jesus actually says to Peter, I'm praying for you to help strengthen your faith, and you will fall. So Peter is being identified as the one who betrays Jesus, and we know he does betray Jesus when he denies Jesus three times, when Jesus is in the house of Caiaphas, right? The various people come up and say, you're his follower. You were one of his followers. And Peter says, no, I'm not. I don't even know the man. So just think, Peter is supposed to be the leader. He's supposed to be the leader. And so Jesus is calling this out. He's calling this out. So you can just imagine what happened to Peter. And after the Lord said that to Peter, Peter says, "Oh no, Lord, I'm not gonna do that. I will go with you to death. I will even go into prison with you. I will go to death with you." And Jesus says, "Peter, before the cock crows this very day, you will have denied me three times." So Jesus tells Peter this. You can imagine. I wonder what was going on inside. So part of it, you know, I think one of the things for us is really to know how vulnerable we are to the persuasions and the temptations that come our way in our lives. Know that the devil is out there, that we can be tricked and fooled, and if we're not really aware or prayerful, asking the Lord for help and strength. I mean, that's what Jesus in the agony in the garden, he said, pray that you don't be put to the test. And they were sleeping, the three apostles that were there with him in the garden, close by him. So to pray, that's what Jesus certainly is showing us. Pray that we not be put to the test, that we not fall into sin, and have that humility to acknowledge that. You know, it's interesting that this all happens after the institution of the Eucharist. Why after the institution of the Eucharist? Well, if you think about it, the Eucharist, it really is Jesus. The Eucharist actually forgives venial sin when we receive Jesus in the Eucharist. It strengthens us, certainly. It helps us. So we need Jesus' strength and help to go out into the world and to fight those evil things that come our way, fight those temptations. We need the strength of Jesus. We need that Eucharist. We need his help and strength. He prayed for Peter. So we need that strength in our lives. Again, the Eucharist, it really is Jesus. And he wants to come in. He wants to help us, support us, strengthen us, so that we don't fall. I mean, that's what he wants. So for us, it's a reminder for us again. So we pray, Lord, just help me. Help me really to look to you, especially when I'm tempted or struggling. Turn to the Lord. Allow him to help us, strengthen us. Have that humility. That's what he wants for us, to acknowledge that we need him, and we do. So certainly for us to pray for that grace, and we just thank God for the Eucharist, and we just ask that all of us would be strengthened, nourished, and healed so that we can actually live like Jesus in our lives.